Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, Making Friends for God, the joy of sharing in His mission. Lesson 5, Spirit-empowered witnessing. Our memory text for this week, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit. The evening of the Last Supper, Jesus is gathered together with his disciples. It's for the last time before his crucifixion. They are told about the future, but the horizon is so narrow. They do not want to listen to such news. Betrayed, arrested, crucified, and the rest they don't hear anymore. Then he will be risen from the dead on the third day. And during this evening, the disciples hear very, very important words. Jesus tells them, I have so much more to say, but you're not able to bear it. It's too much for you. But one theme is in the center. During this last evening, the coming of the Spirit. And what's so interesting, that Jesus says to them in John 16, verse 7, it is to your advantage that I go away. How can that be an advantage when Jesus goes away? This is a loss, a terrible loss, isn't it? It is to your advantage that I go away. For, now, what is the cause? If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's interesting. So Jesus tells them the future. I go away and I will send you someone else. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he will help you. He will live in you. And this is an enormous advantage. More advantage than Jesus personally with them. Why so? You have to be at the place at the right time where Jesus is at the moment. When he is in Jerusalem, you have to be there. When he's at the Sea of Galilee, you have to be there. But when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in you, then it is with you all the time. And that's an advantage, isn't it? So therefore, it's good for you that I go away. I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this is the theme of the Last Supper. There will come the Spirit, and you will be filled with it. And later on we will see what happened because of this spirit. An empowered church. The work of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, we hear about this sermon of Peter. Thousands flocked into the temple area, to the court of the temple, to listen to the apostles. Why so? They were able to speak in foreign languages from one second to the other. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And people could understand, this is a miracle. How can that be? There were experts from far abroad. They knew you can't just speak another language like this. You need time. You have to spend years there. And they know it from one second to the other, these apostles. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people were baptized this day. And if we go on reading, it continues in this way that 5,000 men, they do not count women anymore because there are so many, they only count the men. 5,000 men they were already. And then they do not count even men. It's too much. More and more and more. There is growth, growth, growth of the Church of Christ. And it is the work of the Spirit. This working of the Spirit is in a way that the apostles do not have fear. They have fear of God, respect, but they are not afraid of the powerful high council in Jerusalem, of the man there who crucified Jesus Christ, and who addressed the apostles in the way that they said, if you are not silent, we will kill you. And Peter, in his answer, it's impossible for us to be quiet. We can't. We have seen it. We have seen the risen Savior. We have seen him being crucified, and we have seen him being risen. And he ordered us to preach. So who is higher, you or he? Who has more authority, the King of the universe or the High Priest in Jerusalem? That's easy to answer, isn't it? And Peter tells them, judge by yourself. What should I do? Whom should I obey more? Your command or his command? He is King of the universe. And because of this being of no fear, no, not being afraid of these leaders, they just move on. And when they are killed, well, then they are killed. What can happen to them? They will be risen as Jesus has been risen from the dead. No fear for the future. only power, hope. And that's the difference. When someone is not afraid of you, what can you do with them? He said, but then I will kill you. Okay, then you will kill me. What more can happen? That's just fantastic. If men and women are so full of the Spirit, no more in no more development of fear, just power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and witnessing. When these seven diacons were elected, and one of them was Stephen, we read about him that he was such a powerful person, so filled with the Spirit, that the following happened. And we read in chapter 6 in the Acts of the Apostles, verse 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. The scribes sent their best theologians, the crème de la crème, the best of the best. And these are doctors of theology, scribes. They are the best. And what happens? One Stephen and the best on the other side. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. They were not able to resist, because it is the wisdom of the Spirit. Now what to do then? If you send the best of the best, and they are not able to win the debate, what to do then? Next verse. Then the Zabant man which said, we have heard him speak, false witnesses, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. In the time of King Ahab and his queen from Phoenicia, the prophet Elijah left. And during this time, the king wanted to get a certain area surrounding his palace with grapes, but the owner did not want to sell the heritage of his fathers, because this was a law. You should not sell it. And the king was angry. But the queen found a way, writing a letter to the council of Israel, and they were ordered, you take false witnesses, and they speak against the owner of these grapes, and then he will be killed, and then this piece of ground will fall to the king. And when a king, after the owner had been stoned, when the king was there, looking at the wonderful grapes, Elijah appeared. on the spot where the dogs have licked the blood of Naboth. They will lick your blood as well. This was a shock for the king. But here, these scribes, 700 years later, 800 years later, they have not learned anything from history. If you do not learn from history, you attempt to repeat history. You attempt to repeat all the mistakes. And here they act in this way. They stone Stephen to death, and God allowed it. This was one of his best men, Stephen. And he allowed that he was killed, because God had a plan, a wonderful plan, as we will see. The Holy Spirit, the Word, and witnessing. Stephen was killed, but someone watched the stoning of Stephen. A member of the Sanhedrin, this council in Jerusalem. And Saul could not get out the scene of his brain. It was there, engraved. And when he was on his way to the Damascus, in a vision, he saw Jesus, who asked him, "Why do you persecute me? Why?" And Saul changed to Paul in 3 days, from a persecutor to a follower. And then he moved on from place to place. On this map here of Africa, we see the area of the Mediterranean Sea as well. And Paul moved on, and the area of the state of Turkey nowadays was conquered by the Christendom because of the Apostle Paul. And we hear when he was in Antioch, in this area in the middle, in the center of Galatia, nowadays Turkey, he went straight to the synagogue of the Jews. That was his strategy, speaking there on Sabbath. He was invited as a high educated person from abroad. Would you be so friendly to speak to us? We would like to hear you. He answered. And he liked to speak, to preach, and he preached about the Messiah. And in the end, at the end of his sermon, the bomb exploded, and the Messiah has already come, and our leaders have crucified him. Oh no. What now? And reaction, and that's interesting, because of this sermon, what happened on the next Sabbath? In Acts 13, verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. This is a sentence, isn't it? The next Sabbath came almost the whole city together. So there's a Jewish synagogue. I'm sure there weren't enough seats. They had to move to the outside, open air meeting. And it would be just normal to read that the Jews were just happy. Never before so many people flocking to the synagogue together. But what do we read? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they shouted hallelujah? No. When they saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Huh? Is there a synagogue? The whole city comes together around the synagogue. Hallelujah! No, they were filled with envy. Why so? When they had preached, only the Jews had assembled. And now comes this stranger, and the whole city comes together. But Paul said, then, if you do not want to hear the words of Jesus anymore, because they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming, disturbing the whole meeting. And Paul said, okay, then let's go on to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Miracles happened. Day by day. The life-transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we hear in this report of Luke how Paul moved on to Europe, to Philippi. In Greece, and there he found, the Apostle Paul, no synagogue. This was a problem, because normally he went there, preached, and then you could see the outcome of it. But there's no synagogue, no Jews around. They found some at the river. Only women, we would say, no men. But one of these women, Lydia, a very, very rich woman, she was a seller of purple, and therefore very rich. She heard the words of Paul, and the Lord opened her heart. She was converted and baptized, and Lydia became a milestone for the advancement of the gospel in northern Greece. But the devil does not like anything like that. And one day, Paul and Silas, his companion, were surrounded, beaten, attacked. They were really hurt and arrested. And it was, hard for them. The magistrates rent off the clothes, we read in Acts 16, verse 22, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them to the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks? After you have been beaten, feet in the stocks, you can't move. Although every part of your body hurts and you would like to turn around, you're not able to. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So this is not normal, isn't it? Every part of your body aches. You have been beaten. Your feet are fast in the stocks. And you sing songs of praise. Oh God, how great you are. What happens then? Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. No more feet in the stocks. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Surprise. He called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It's the most important question on earth. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is here in one sentence. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. And you shall be saved. And your house. Believe in the Lord. Trust him. And he was baptized during this night. Amazing, isn't it? This is amazing. Work of the Holy Spirit. Summary. In my back, there is a piece of art drawn, painted by the Austrian artist Maximilian Jantscher. And I move a little bit. Who is this? Minister of Finances of Ethiopia. Now, where's Ethiopia? Far, far away from Israel. Very far away. Imagine how long. I'm here in Austria. And from Austria to Israel, it is as far as from Israel to Ethiopia. You need weeks, months, with such a courage to get there. We hear of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, this famous Austrian composer and musician. When he was a child, he moved with his father on a carriage to England, from Austria to England. And on one day they managed about a distance of 30 miles. This was the best. So when your destination is thousands of miles away and you manage 30 miles a day, how long will it take for you? So this is what this person has to do for a month on a carriage. Why so? We read in the book of Acts, chapter 8, that this man this minister of Ethiopia, minister for finances, he had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now that's amazing. And because he's so rich, he can buy a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. This was the most expensive scroll because it was the longest of all the scrolls. And he reads loud, in a loud voice. And Philip is called by God to be there on the very spot where this man comes by. A road in the desert, down there to Egypt. And Philip asks, are you able to understand what you're going to read? How can I? If there isn't anyone who helps me. Get up. And so they continue their journey. This minister of finances and Philip. And Philip explains to him the text of Isaiah 53. The lamb, the Messiah, is a lamb being sacrificed for our sins. The one without sins carries the sins for us. And this minister of finances has the best day in his life. He discovers Jesus, is baptized, goes back to Ethiopia and spreads the good news. The queen and all the people, they become Christians. 1,900 years later, Italian soldiers took hold of this area with the help of German parachute fighters. And it became an Italian colony, and these Roman Catholic Italians, they came from here, down there, they discover Ethiopians are Christians celebrating the Sabbath day. What a surprise. High up there in the mountains, isolated, for the 1,900 years, they had been followers of Jesus celebrating the Sabbath day because the Sabbath day was the holy day of the early Christians. This is the proof.